Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Is the Mormon concept of repentance merciful? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this subject is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are going through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by Spencer W. Kimball, the 12th president of the church. And today we are looking at chapter 11, a title that is titled Conviction, the Awakening. He starts off with this sentence: repentance is a kind and merciful law. Repentance is a kind and merciful law. If you've been listening regularly to this broadcast, you know that recently we've been looking at the definition of repentance and how that word has been looked upon by LDS leaders and LDS scriptures. And naturally, when we look at the Mormon definition of repentance, we find, at least I think we would agree here, that we do not think that the Mormon view of repentance is either kind or merciful. First of all, we have to understand that mercy is something that must be undeserved. There is no such thing as deserved mercy. Charles Spurgeon, the great Christian pastor, English pastor of the 19th century, said, "God's mercy is so great that it forgives great sins to great sinners after great lengths of time, and then gives great favors and great privileges and raises us up to great enjoyments in the great heaven of the great God. It is undeserved mercy, as indeed all true mercy must be, for deserved mercy is only a misnomer for justice." Spurgeon also said, "God alone is exalted in the sovereignty of his mercy. The sinner can do no better than meekly touch the silver scepter and accept undeserved favor just because God wills to give it. This is not pleasant to the great minds of our philosophers and the broad phylacteries of our moralists, and therefore they turn aside and fight against the empire of grace." And I would say that Spurgeon's words, though certainly not directed against the leaders of the Mormon church, certainly not Spencer Kimball in particular, but I would say that Spurgeon's words are an indictment against what Mormon leaders have taught regarding the mercy of God. Because forgiveness and mercy is not really something that is given as a divine act in Mormonism. It's something that must be given only in a trade. And the trade is, of course, the individual Mormon's ability to keep all the commandments and refrain from sinning. Therein lies the problem. If that is really the definition, and certainly as we have shown numerous times on this program, if that is what a Mormon must do, then the Mormon view of repentance is anything but kind and anything but merciful.
Well, on the bottom of that page, Bill, this is what he writes. I mean, if it's kind and merciful, I don't understand why he writes this. It is a long road, talking about repentance, the road to repentance. It's a long road spiked with thorns and briars and pitfalls and problems. It is a way which must be kept open. Otherwise, the wasteland, the badland, will invade it again and take over, just as the forest has invaded flourishing cities and cultivated areas of bygone days. And there's not a whole lot of promise in that statement, is there?
Well, you know, when he talks about the long road spiked with thorns and briars and pitfalls, certainly life is full of things like that. And we are supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But Paul makes it very clear that it's a working out and not a working for. And of course, since we are going to have to go against our sinful nature and refrain from doing certain things that we know God is not going to be pleased with, it is going to be a struggle. But the way he describes it, Eric, seems a little bit odd when you consider how Jesus describes this to us in the book of Matthew. For instance, we find in Matthew 11:28 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What makes that burden light is the fact, I think, that as Christians we know that even despite our shortcomings, God's love for us and his acceptance for us is still there just the same. We don't seem to have to share in any type of fear, as I assume many Mormons probably have, in wondering whether or not we are still accepted by our beloved Savior.
Well, and that's a done deal. When Jesus died on the cross for my sins and when I had belief in him, I mean, I can trust in him that he's going to forgive me of my sins. But in Mormonism, repentance is something you have to do. You have to conjure up. You have to, as Spencer Kimball is saying here, if it's not done, then it's going to result in you not getting the very best that God would want you to have, the celestial kingdom.
Now, a Mormon would probably respond to what you just said as if you are downplaying the importance of repentance in a Christian's life.
No, of course not.
We're not saying that.
No.
We do believe very strongly that there is a repentance. There should be a heartfelt sorrow when we do things that we know offends our holy God. But if I have to be 100% successful at this repentance, as it's been defined by the Mormon Church, I'm never going to find rest. I'm never going to find what Jesus is actually talking about, a burden that is light. I'm going to find a burden that is very heavy. And as we've mentioned many times on this broadcast, we've talked to many Latter-day Saints that admit that Mormonism is a heavy burden. In fact, how many times have we heard Mormons boast that the reason why some leave the Mormon Church is because they just can't live up to the high standard? And I almost feel like just taking a finger and poking it in the chest of a Mormon that acts like that and just saying, "You're not doing it either, but you've lied to yourself into thinking that somehow you're going to be accepted when the rules of your own church condemn you just for that very attitude that you just had. According to Alma 5, you wouldn't be qualified because you're not sufficiently humble. And because you're not sufficiently humble, you're not stripped of pride, you are not prepared to die." This is the high burden of Mormonism, mm-hmm. folks. And here's the thing. It's not that the Mormon Church doesn't talk about mercy. And we've mentioned it before. It's not that even this book doesn't talk about mercy. It's not that this book doesn't talk about grace. But in doing so, it's not very merciful and it's not very graceful. And what I mean by that is, again, the definitions cause the problem. It was Spencer Kimball himself, and this is in the book, The Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 150. He says, "Mercy cannot rob justice. The Lord's program is unchangeable. His laws are immutable. They will not be modified. Your opinions or mine do not make any difference and do not alter the laws. Many of the world think that eventually the Lord will be merciful and give to them unearned blessings. Mercy cannot rob justice. College professors will not give you a doctorate degree for a few weeks of cursory work in the university, nor can the Lord be merciful at the expense of justice. In this program, which is infinitely greater, we will each receive what we merit. Do not take any chances whatever." You know what this shows me, Eric? Kimball has no concept of the justice that was met in the death of Jesus on the cross.
Because it's all left up to you to merit.
The justice was met in Jesus. That's why we can have that rest. It has been met. But what Kimball does and what other Mormon leaders do, they say, no, the justice rests with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to do
this.
That's
opposite.
You have to overcome. Then when you overcome, then you will receive the mercy. So the obvious question then becomes, how many Latter-day Saints have actually overcome? How many of them have? Kimball later on in this book is going to make it very clear that is a requirement in order to obtain forgiveness. How many Mormons are doing that? We find also the same type of statement is made by James Faust in a message that he gave, Dear Are the Sheep That Have Wandered. This is a sermon that he gave in 2003 at the April conference. He says, Mercy will not rob justice, and the sealing power of faithful parents will only claim wayward children upon the condition of their repentance in Christ's atonement. Repentant, wayward children will enjoy salvation and all the blessings that go with it, but exaltation is much more. It must be fully earned. It must be fully earned. The question as to who will be exalted must be left to the Lord in His mercy. Again, it's not mercy if it has to be earned. It completely defies the word. It completely defies the word. For someone to show mercy is to show something upon a person who certainly doesn't deserve it. When a person says, have mercy on me, why would they have to say that? It's because they've done something that they cannot possibly exchange in order to get the mercy that they seek. It has to be undeserved, and that's what Spurgeon was talking about. You have Bruce McConkie. He said, all must repent to be free. All must obey to gain gospel blessings. All must keep the commandments to merit mercy. This is not Christianity. And unfortunately, it's this type of teaching that puts a huge weight upon the shoulders of our LDS friends and loved ones. And it is our hope that if you're a Mormon listening to this, that we can tell you that there is an easier way by putting your trust completely in what Jesus did for you.
Bill, Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Through His mercy, not meriting mercy, but on our behalf, not, or our part, I mean.
Not by any act of righteousness which we have done. And what are Mormon leaders telling their people? It's exactly that's how it's got to be done, by righteous acts on their part.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 in Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.